Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of VRL Logistics Limited, hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 2Q FY23 earnings conference call for VRL Logistics. We have with us Mr. Sunil Nalavadi, the CFO of the company. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Nalavadi to give opening remarks and discuss on the performance of the company. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Alok. Good morning to all participants. I am Sunil Nalavadi here, CFO of VRL Logistics Limited. I welcome all of you once again for the earnings conference call of the company for the period ended September 2022. As we indicated earlier, the management of the company is going to focus only on the higher growth-oriented goods transport business. In view of the same, we have taken many steps, including sale of non-goods transport segment, which were part of the company earlier. I also would like to thank the non-promoter shareholders who have supported our decision by voting in favor on our decision of sale of bus operations to the promoter entity. In goods transport business, we are taking many key steps to expand our business at unparalleled growth. The key steps mainly consist of expansion in branch network, addition of new customers, increase in infrastructure backup by increasing in our own fleet, enhancement in the space in the transshipment hubs and branches, route optimization in line with the increase in tonnage, etc. This is going to be continued even going forward. As we envisage, we are on a track to increase our volume growth by 20%+ in the current fiscal year as compared to the last year. During the quarter, we have handled total tonnage of around 966,000 tons, which is almost 7% more than the previous quarter and 14% more than the same quarter of the last year. Further, in the current half year, we have handled totally around 1,858,000 tons, which is 27% more than the last year half year H1. With this background, the total revenue of the company reached to 733 crores in the current quarter, which is again the highest ever revenue per quarter as compared to the previous quarters. This has resulted into year-on-year growth of 15% and quarterly basis, the growth is around 2%. The major contribution to the revenue is coming from our goods transport segment, and the revenue from this segment reached to 650 crores in the current quarter. This has resulted into 14% year-on-year growth and 7% quarter-on-quarter growth. The growth in this segment is mainly from the increase in volume without increasing in freight rates. Apart from the better economic conditions and festive seasons in the current quarter, the increase in tonnage in goods transport segment is also due to expansion in network by the company. During the quarter, we have opened around 29 additional branches, and from April 2021, we have opened totally around 188 branches. These branches have been contributed around 8% tonnage. This is additional tonnage to the company. As we always mentioned that our industry comprises of many of or majority of the small fleet and unorganized operators. To curb on the evasion of the tax, which were supported by the unorganized operators in India, the government has modified the e-way bill regulations. From April 2022 onwards, for the business entities who are doing the business 10 crores and up, 20 crores and above, compulsorily they have to generate an e-invoice. The same limit has been reduced to 10 crores from October 1, 2022. This is further going to support us because of the increase in the compliances. We hope that the steps taken by the government clearly indicates the business transaction needs to be done in a compliant and organized way rather than the non-compliant manner which were being supported by the unorganized transporters while transportation of the goods. Due to which, we are acknowledging from the market that many of the commodities transportation which used to be transported only by the unorganized operator till date are gradually shifting to us. To name a few of our products, like the coconut product and leather product, the areca nut or supari products, etc. On account of shift from unorganized operators and the expansion in our network, the base of the customers has been enhanced to 7 lakh customers as against 4 lakh customer base prior to COVID. When it comes to the profitability analysis during the quarter, the EBITDA of the goods transport segment reached to 101 crores, which is around 8% lesser than the same quarter of the last year and increased by 1.4% as compared to the previous quarter. The EBITDA margin of goods transport segment in the current quarter is 15.56%, which is reduced from 19% as compared to the same quarter of the last year, and sequential basis this is reduced from 16.38%. The detailed profitability analysis along with the reasons have been provided in page number 10 and 11 of the presentation. Just to brief some of the reasons behind it, if you see the year-on-year decline in EBITDA is mainly on account of increasing lorry hire charges as a percentage to the revenue. This cost is increased from 7.25% to 10.16%. The increase in cost is mainly due to sudden surge in festive bookings during the fag end of current quarter, especially from Surat and Ahmedabad markets. And to meet this requirement, we forced to engage hired vehicles since our own vehicles were deployed in other routes and geographies. Further, the lorry charges per kilometer is also increased. The toll charges are impacted in the current quarter, and the percentage to the revenue of this cost is increased from 6% to 7.33%. The increase in toll charges is due to increase in toll plazas, toll charge rates, and increase in kilometers covered by the own vehicles. The another increase impacted on the margin is on account of increase in the employee cost, which is increased from 13.76% to 14.91% due to annual increments effected in January 2022. The decline in some of the costs such as vehicle repairs and maintenance, diesel cost and other expenses were supported in increase in EBITDA margins. The diesel cost is under control in spite of no bulk purchase from the refineries, and the cost per liter is less due to reduction of excise duty by the government on periodical basis. The procurement cost of diesel, it was around 90 rupees earlier. Now in Q2, this has been, it is almost same of around 90 rupees only. The quarter-on-quarter decline in EBITDA is mainly on account of increase in lorry hire charges as a percentage to the revenue. This cost is increased from 9.37% to 10.16%. The increase in cost is mainly due to sudden surge in festive bookings during the fag end of the current quarter, especially from Surat and Ahmedabad again. And further, we forced to engage outside vehicle on account of this sudden surge in the demand. Further, the vehicle repair maintenance charges on account of increasing the spare part rates has also increased. And employee cost as a percentage to the revenue has been declined from 15% to 14.91% on account of the increase in the volumes. Since the employee cost is in a fixed in nature, on account of surge in the revenue, the percentage to the revenue has come down. Moreover, if you see the fuel cost, which is declined from 31% to 30%, and this is mainly on account of decline in the overall reduction in the procurement cost. In the quarter one, the procurement cost of the fuel was around 93 rupees, which has been reduced to around 90 rupees. I would like to quote another impact in the current quarter on account of sudden increase in the transit tonnage during the fag end of the quarter. Normally, this freight amount is around 45 to 50 crores at the end of the each quarter, but in this quarter, this amount is increased to around 65 crores. Since these most of the tonnages are in transit, we have not accounted this tonnage as a revenue in the current quarter, and further, some of the expenses incurred on this transit tonnage has been additionally burdened on the P&L account. In our view, around 50 basis points of margins have been reduced on account of this. The net profit of the company reached to 31 crores in the current quarter, and decline in net profit from the run rate of 50 crores profit from the previous quarters is only on account of decrease in the bus business. If we see the EBIT of bus segment, which is around 17 crores, which has been reduced as compared to the first quarter. The reason is always if you see the bus division, the first quarter always will see a more demand and more profitability, whereas subsequent quarters, the margins of the bus business will come down. Further, we are, as we presented earlier also, the bus business is facing a lot of competitions, especially from the railways and even on the local air segments. So on account of this, the overall, there is a reduction in the demand or number of passengers have been traveled less in the quarter two, and even realization per passenger has come down. On account of this, the bus business is impacted very badly in the current quarter. Further, there is a reduction of profit in around 3 to 4 crores on account of the windmill transactions. The windmill transaction has affected from 1st July to 1st July, and the profitability of August and the August and September profitability have not been considered in the current quarter. Because of that, the profitability is reduced by around 4 to 5 crores in the current quarter. So on account of these two impacts, the overall profitability has come down, but in terms of goods transportation business, it has maintained EBITDA and EBIT level profit. Other things that I want to highlight about the goods transport vehicles, we have purchased around 560 vehicles in the current half year, and as we committed the capex plan, we are on track, and the rest of the vehicles are going to be added in the coming 1 year period. By September 23, definitely this order is going to be completed. And another thing is about the net debt, which is increased from 130 crores to 164 crores, in spite of increasing in the capex to the tune of around 170 crores in the first half year. As we disclosed, the bus transaction is going to be consummated in the quarter three. And because of this transaction, the company is going to realize around 190 crores additional cash flows, the net of taxes. And this entire cash flows are going to be used for retirement of the debts. So on account of this, there will be savings in the interest by almost 3 to 4 crores in a quarter. So overall, on a future period, definitely we are expecting that the tonnage will be grow in the range of around 20% on year-on-year basis. And further, the profitability will be maintained. At an EBITDA level, we are going to maintain at the range of around 16%. And at a PAT level, the reduction on a debt is going to be supportive for us to increase at a PAT margins. With this, actually, I conclude my initial remarks. Now I request the participant to ask questions.
Thank you very much. We will begin the question and answer session now. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first one is that you mentioned in your opening remarks that there were services provided due to sudden surge in petrol booking. However, the corresponding revenue was not. So is it possible to quantify that revenue and will it come in third quarter? And if so, what could be your margin, EBITDA margin for rest of the year? That is the first question.
Yeah. In the normal period of operations or even in the normal festive seasons which are spread in a month, this transit freight will be in the range of around 40-45 crores value. But in this quarter, what happened, this amount has been reached to around 65 crores.
And this entire 65 crores has not been booked, that's what you're trying to say, in this quarter?
Yeah, this 65 crores, the transit freight is not booked as a revenue in this quarter. And apart from that, what happened, there are certain expenses which are incurred by the company. Say, for example, if the material is booked from Delhi, the booking office expenses have been increased, the booking loading and unloading charges have been increased. If it reaches to the transshipment hub, again transshipment costs have been incurred, and all these expenses have been already charged to the P&L account. in our estimate, if it would have been a normal tonnage, transit tonnage, the profitability would have been improved by around 50 basis points in the current quarter.
Okay, so that's good. The second question is essentially if we look at the revenue growth in this quarter, YOY, it has been mainly volume-led. There has been no increase in prices. And we have seen your cost increasing. So is there any chance of, you know, passing the cost to the customer through price hike?
Yeah, basically, see, we are in an expansion mode as of today, and we are more concentrated to increase the volumes. Because of that reason, we have not taken a call on the increase in the freight rate. And since we are maintaining the EBITDA level at around 16%, we want to continue this strategy even going forward. If the increase in costs are beyond this level, say sudden increase in the fuel rates or something like that, which are beyond our control or which is, we are going to impact on our EBITDA margins, then we will think about the increase in the freight rates. Otherwise, we want to continue the same strategy and we want to acquire more and more number of customers and more and more number of the sectors which were in the hands of the unorganized players till date.
So what is the threshold profitability level that you are considering beyond which you would consider price hike?
Yeah, EBITDA margins, see, our strategy is to maintain at around 16%. And see, if it is below around 15% or so, then definitely we will think about the increase in the rate.
Wonderful, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you and all.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rakesh from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. Just wanted to probe a little bit more on the margins. If I look at your margins and forgetting about the first half of this year, you have been in the range of what, about 19 to as high as about 20-21% in the goods segment margin for almost 7-8 quarters in the past. And now we are talking about 16% margins. So I'm just wondering that even with the higher volumes, why shouldn't our margins be going back to previous level? What explains the difference between 19% margin we were doing and versus 16% we are guiding now?
Yeah, basically what happened with 18-19 or even up to 20% EBITDA margins we reached in last year quarter 2, 3 and 4. But subsequently what happened, the diesel cost has been tremendously increased. But in spite of that, actually we maintained our freight rate. And apart from that, there are increase in other expenses also. If you see the toll charges, it is increased by almost around 1-2% to the revenue. Only on account of number of toll plazas have been increased, the toll rates have been increased. And if you see the other costs, the lorry air cost is suddenly increased on account of the festive season. But even the employee costs have been increased on account of the increment which has been effected from April 2022. See, that 19-20% which were there for the three quarters, but it is not a sustainable for a going forward or even for a longer period. And since our focus has been shifted more towards acquisition of the new customers and new geography, new market, we want to grow on a top line with a maintenance of a EBITDA level at around 16%. That's what the strategy has been fixed internally.
So I wanted to follow up on the same. Should we take that during those 6-7 quarters, the competitive intensity because of the COVID was behind and therefore you could have higher margins, and now again the competitive intensity is higher and to be grow volumes you need to give up those margins? Is that the way to think about it, or is there any other way to think about it? Because you might not be taking a price hike. Does that mean the customers would remain sticky and you would have an opportunity to increase price hike in future as and when you get an opportunity?
No, basically, see, since we are expanding in the new geography, we want to retain the price. And moreover, once the volumes grow at the expected level, say around 20-25%, definitely we will have an operational leverage. And again, see, around 1-2% margin expansion is possible at that level. But it is going to take its own time until we reach at least around 1 or 2 years, around 20% growth. That possibility we cannot see. And once continuously we grow at a range of around, say, 20%, then going forward, then we will have an operational leverage. At that level, around 1-2% increase in EBITDA margin is possible.
Understood, sir. So one last question. Are you undercutting prices relative to your competition as and when you're expanding in the new geographies or you are at parity? I mean, is there a large difference between your prices and the competition prices? If you can help us understand that.
No, basically in the new geography, considering our the service strength, we are offering the competitor's rate to the customers.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, hello, sir. Yes, sir. Just continuing with the last participant. So you mentioned in the new geography, you are offering competitive rate or the same rate to the competition? I didn't hear it correctly.
No, competitors' rate. Same rate of the competitors what they are offering.
Offering the same rate. Okay.
Yeah.
So now this focusing on volume growth, so in which geographies have you not taken the price increase? And by doing that, how has your rate card versus the unorganized sector narrowed?
No, our rates are not narrow than the unorganized players, especially in the compliant transactions. See, across the board, we have not taken any freight rate increase. Either it may be new geography or even in the existing geographies. Since our thought process is to increase the volumes. When it comes to unorganized players, as even earlier I used to say, for the compliant transactions, yes, definitely they will offer lesser than our rate. But when it comes to non-compliant transactions, they earn a much of a premium rate. There actually we cannot compete with them and we will not do that business.
Understood. So now on the volume growth, so compared to the last June quarter, we would have gone into our newer geography where the distance traveled by the truck would be higher. So your average realization, average realization per ton per kilometer also would be higher. Now, would that mean your revenue growth should be higher than the volume growth? Is my understanding correct? Should that be the way to look at it?
No, the realization per ton is a constant at around 6,700 per ton. The reason is, again, there is a growth in the existing market also. If you see the contribution from the new branches or new geography, which is around 8% of the tonnage, additional tonnage we got from the last 1 year. But that itself will not change the overall realization rate. Since there is a tonnage increase in the existing market also, the overall realization per ton we are maintaining at around 6,700 rupees.
Okay, fine. And now, about this debt on the book, and so by when can we see this transaction getting done and, you know, the debt on the books repaying the entire debt?
As I said, the bus transaction is going to fetch around 190 crores, clear net cash inflow to the company. And we are planning to consummate this transaction in the current quarter, the quarter three of this financial year.
Okay.
So definitely once this amount came into the company, then again our financial position will be substantially improved. And apart from that, our focus will be on the main on the goods transport segment. And on the interest side, since we are going to repay this debt entirely, so we are going to become a debt-free company once this transaction has been completed. And apart from that, every quarter our savings will be in the range of around 3 to 4 crore rupees. So that will directly add to our net profit.
Yeah, so in this quarter also you have this, in the interest component, you have this Ind AS adjustment done, right?
No, that Ind AS is going to continue even post the bus transaction. But the debt is going to reduce and whatever interest related to this debt is going to come down. It will be zero.
Okay. So Ind AS component out of 15 crore will be how much? 6, 7 crores?
Yeah, out of 15 crores in a quarter, the Ind AS component is around 10 crores, 10, 11 crores.
10, 11 crores, okay. So your actual interest payout is 4 crores?
Yeah.
Okay, and this is what saving you will have?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning and thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, good morning.
On the presentation, you have mentioned about 8% of your total tonnage in the second quarter has come from the new branch additions that you have done last year and first half this year. So that means, I mean, organically it's been a lower growth, I mean 4%, 5% growth, but just trying to understand how much more can branch network first of all expand. I think they've added less than 100 branches, about 100 branches this year first half. So how are we looking at this branch expansion? And secondly, because of this new branch addition in newer geographies, how is that, the lead distances, etc., may be higher, and so the realization per ton, etc., how can that move? Because we've had a significantly higher exposure to the west and south, but now that you're expanding, how will that change our numbers?
Yeah. See, about the new branches, we are having a plan to open, around 30 to 40 branches every quarter. And this will continue at least for next 2 to 3 years. So wherever potential areas are there, definitely we are planning to open a new branches. And these are going to continue. And apart from that, when it comes to realization per ton, yes, as you said, since the lead distance is increasing. But overall contribution, since it is in the range, it will be in the range of around 8 to 10%. The impact of realization per ton will not be there. And going forward, see, once these new branches will be in the range of around, say, 250, 300 branches, then definitely the lead distance will be substantial. And at that moment, definitely we can see some improvement in the realization per ton.
Right, right. Okay, so you continue to expect only 8 to 10% kind of volume growth because of this branch expansion right now. It cannot be significantly higher.
Yeah, once the numbers further increase, and moreover, what will happen, since these branches are opened very nearby, near future, mm-hmm. See, what is happening, we have to spend some more time. See, at least these branches have to require around 1 or 2 years to give, substantial growth in the tonnage. Now, what is happening, as a benchmark, we are having, at least these branches have to contribute 100 tons per month, and these branches to reach a break-even. And branches are contributing 100 tons by within a period of around 2 to 3 months and reaching the break even.
Okay.
To add to the overall profitability and growth in the tonnage, at least those branches required at least around 2 to 3 years. At that moment, there will be considerable jump in the tonnage contribution from these new branches.
Right, right. That's helpful, sir. Thank you. And
just I want to tell you.
Yes.
So even earlier, I used to say the new branches, they were, the contribution were early around 2% and 5% in the earlier quarter. Now we reached to 8%. And in the subsequent quarters, again, this percentage is going to be increased.
Right. Right. Got that, sir. Secondly, in relation to this, these businesses going out, the buses, the bus business as well as the power business, is there any possible reduction in the unallocable expenses at the corporate level? Would there be some employees that would move out or maybe some rent, etc., that could come off? Because we do have 8 to 9 crores of quarterly unallocable expenses. So just trying to understand, is there some slack there that we could
proportionately that expenses is going to come down. Even for a bus segment, see, that expenditure component is in the range of around 12 to 15%. To that extent, those expenses are going to be reduced. And moreover, another thing, since we are scrapping the vehicles, even on the new scrappage policy, whatever it is going to effect from April 2023, some of this realization of scrap is going to support for margin expansion. Especially this will be treated as this other income, and that may support in margin expansion in next year.
Right, right, right. Got that. And is there, on the employee cost, is there, an expected increase in minimum wages by the Karnataka state government or say any other state that you are present in? Is there, because you're reading that there could be a possibility of a very high kind of jump in the minimum wages there?
See, currently when it comes to the minimum wages, anyway our employees are earning more than the minimum wages. Currently the minimum wages is around 11 to 12,000 rupees in different states. In Karnataka it is around 12,000 rupees per month. But most of our drivers and other people are earning more than this amount. See, they are earning, average earning by the drivers is in the range of around 20,000 plus salary or earnings per month. So once the minimum wages is revised, accordingly the salary structure of the drivers will be changed. But overall there will not be impact on the company.
Okay.
Only as the allocation operational cost will change.
Okay. Got that. And just one very last one, sir. We've seen your lease liability.
Mr. Saraf, I will advise you to please rejoin the queue.
Okay, I'll get back in the queue.
Okay, thank you so much. We have the next question from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Basically, I just want to outlook on this use of biodiesel, which we used to have very actively earlier. How is the current situation or outlook going ahead for use of this biodiesel opportunity? And the second question is that you have shared this lorry hire as a percentage of sales, but can you give the outside basis on the kilometer percentage, like, just to get an idea?
Yeah, because one is about the biofuel. Again, near future, we are not having a visibility of usage of biodiesel. But in some of the location, we started in the current quarter, but it is very, very small quantity as of now. And second thing about the fuel is, now entire fuel is consuming through the retail pumps. Even the bulk purchase is ruled out because of the wholesale price is increased by the government. So once these prices are going to be matched, and once these are going to get a benefit to us, definitely we are the first people to start usage of the biodiesel. And the second thing about the highest kilometers, what you said, just we'll give that figure to you. See, there is a cost increase of around 2% in the lorry hire charges per kilometer on a quarter-on-quarter basis. If you see the cost per kilometer, year-on-year it is increased by around 17%. And on an overall basis, the kilometers, the lorry hire charges we have incurred in the current quarter around 57 crores as compared to the earlier around 66 crores. And the number of kilometers in the current quarter is around 56,91,000 kilometers, which are contributed by the hired vehicle kilometers in the quarter one. And quarter two, that has been increased to around 65,28,000 kilometers. Whereas last year, the same kilometers were around 40,39,000 kilometers.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Srinidhi from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So first question on revenue growth outlook, more importantly, volume growth outlook as we go into H2. I know you guided for 20%. I just wanted to know how has been the lower threshold for e-invoicing that is starting to kick in from 1st October, resulting into increased inquiries for you?
Yeah, definitely there are, we monitor based on the product wise. Just I mentioned some of the products which were completely in the hands of unorganized people. Those products are shifting to us. And in terms of number of customers, it will be the group of people. See, one coconut product, one particular market, that entire market is going to shift to us that way. In irrespective of the number of customers, based on the product wise, if you see, there are a lot of inquiries and we are doing, and there is substantial increase in the tonnage from these products. So that's the reason whatever government is going to take steps. Now e-invoicing 20 crores to it is reduced to 10 crores. And we are expecting that all GST registered people are going to regenerate a e-invoicing. That policy may come soon. So once it happens, even the people are who having a turnover of around 40 lakh, 50 lakh rupees turnover, they are liable to generate a e-invoice. In that scenario, definitely it is going to support the slot, being an organized player.
Yeah. I was wondering, is this incremental revenue growth that you are seeing because of this formalization, is it a similar margin business or it is coming at a lower margin?
Yeah, definitely it is a similar margin business. And because most of these retail rates, we are fixed by the company. We do not have a contract with these customers. They just always, we used to highlight about this paid and to-pay customer. So yeah. Most of these customers comes under this this category, paid or to-pay, which is almost 70% of our business as of today. For these customers, we do not have a contract. Those customers have to follow the rate charge issued by the company.
Right. Right. And so coming back to a question.
New customers in this category, obviously, they have to book as per the company's rate cards.
Right, understood, sir. And coming back to your margin guidance, which you said that is we are expecting about 16% kind of margin. So if you look at this quarter margin, you did a almost 16% margin and this quarter had a several one-off kind of things. So wondering if those one-offs kind of normalize, shouldn't your margin go back to 17-18% kind of level as we go into second half?
Yeah, there is a possibility of around change of around 1% or so, because these lawyer charges is going to come down, and even the transit tonnage what we are talking, that is good, that may benefit in the next quarter. But the substantial around 18% what we are talking, definitely it is going to take a time. So once our the strategy of volume increase, you know, is continuously increased around 20% in next 2 to 3 years, post that definitely we can look margin in the range of around 18%.
Okay, sir. And last one, sir, a bookkeeping question. Would it be possible to tell us how much was the total tonnage you did in full financial year last year?
Yeah, last year I said half yearly we did the...
It's a full year, sir, I wanted.
Full year I'll share with you separately, okay? Half year information is available as of today.
Yeah, 18 lakh something you said, right?
Yes, 18 lakh 58,000 tons. And full year basis, we did around 32 lakh tons.
32.
But anyway, I will share you separately on that, okay?
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you for answering my question and all the very best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vikas Khatri from Aviral Consulting. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. So my question is the kilometer of running you have given last year 40 lakh kilometer to this year 66 lakh kilometer, increase of almost 65%. Is it due to having any relation with the retirement of your own fleet, that market engagement has increased, that's why your lorry cost is going up? And if so, then what's the outlook in the coming days in terms of old vehicle retirement versus lorry hire? And the second question is that you are adding new segments, like you gave coconut, leather, supari. What's the impact on the top four contributing categories of the volume, like VRL is known for the cloth, so how that is moving up and how it will be in coming days? And the third question is related to your exiting AIR business, wind business. So are there any plan to enter in related business like rail freight?
Yeah. Just to answer about the lorry air kilometers, this is the kilometers have been increased mainly on account of sudden surge in the volumes, especially in Surat, Ahmedabad, and some of the locations in Punjab, the Ambala and other places. But this is one-off increase in the kilometers, and going forward, definitely it will not be this kind of a percentage. Overall, it will be in the range of around 7-8%, not in the range of around 10-11% in terms of kilometers. That's one. And so second thing,
the owned vehicle versus outsourced vehicle ratio.
Yeah.
Okay.
So your second question is related to the wind power project. The wind power project, yes, it is a one-time investment we did long back in the financial year 2006-07, only for the tax planning purpose. And since we got the complete benefit on the tax side and even on the return on this project, so we got a good offer and we sold that project. And in the near future, we are not looking for any such kind of a investment. And our focus will be only on the goods transport business going forward. When it comes to product-wise, yes, the cloth we are doing around 18 to 19% of the overall tonnage. And agriculture commodities in the range of around 7 to 8%. And when it comes to the food and FMCG product, we are doing around 9%. And the electronic goods, we are doing around 7%. And the metals, hardware are in the range of 8%. So the major commodities are the cloth and rest of all in the range of around 6 to 8% to the overall tonnage contribution. So we are not depending on any particular sector. And even if you see the customer base, we are having a 7 lakh plus customer. And the top customer contribution even is not more than 1% to the revenue. That's how the spread in terms of the customers or even in terms of the product.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sanjay Satpathy from Ampersand Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks a lot for the opportunity. My question is that you're trying to gain market share through a bit of aggressive pricing strategy. So is that something which is going to be negative for you in the long term because you may like to get into parcel business or something?
No, ours is a healthy growth. If you see, many people are trying to incur by heavy losses, they are incurring and growing in the market. But our strategy is totally different. We want to earn a minimum operating margin and grow. So our growth, what we are saying, it is completely healthy growth. It is not at all risk for us.
Understood. And so the last question is that promoters are going to buy out this bus business. So how are they going to fund that acquisition? Because there are some speculation that they will sell VRL shares in the open market to raise fund.
Yeah, they are planning internally among the promoters, and definitely it is their plan. You know, we don't want to comment on that.
Okay. But when all these transactions likely to get over, the whole uncertainty will go away, is there any idea?
Yeah, in quarter three, we want to complete this transaction because we received a shareholder approval by 30th October and definitely we are going to complete this transaction by end of this quarter.
Understood. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Asha from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I just wanted to confirm one thing. Earlier you mentioned that 75% of the customers are 2-pay customers, right? If I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Paid and 2-pay.
Paid and 2-pay. 2-pay.
Yeah.
And 25% would be contract basis.
Yes.
Okay. And also, one more thing. Since the bus segment is going to be carved out into a new entity, so the management bandwidth will be divided between the two. So how are we planning to deal on with the situation, if there is any?
Yeah, even currently, see, that bus business is completely running by the independent professional management. There is a technical team who are running independently, and apart from that, the operational person, he is from the inception of the bus segment. Actually, he is leading that business, and that person is going to continue as head of this operation. And about the management role, yes, especially on the policy matters, that definitely, even currently their involvement is there, even with this company, since that segment is running. And going forward also, whatever policy level decisions or policy level participations are required, definitely there will be, you know, involvement. But on a day-to-day operations level, there is an independent team who are going to handle it. And currently, that's how the structure is. And even going forward, that's how the structure is going to continue.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Suraj Navandhar from Sampada Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. So what is the timeline to receive our 1,600 trucks that we have placed in order with Tata and Ashok Leyland?
Sorry, will you repeat your question, please?
Sir, we have placed two to three quarters ago, we had placed a big order with Ashok Leyland and Tata Motors, around 1400 or 1600 trucks, if I am wrong. So what is the timeline to receive all those trucks?
And yeah, as we informed to the SLA event earlier. Sorry,
come again, sir.
Yeah, since as we informed earlier, this order is going to complete by September 2023, and we are on a track.
Okay.
So by September 23, all these vehicles will be purchased.
Okay. So is it going to be stepwise delivery, like every month they are going to give us 50 or 100 trucks or anything like that, or they are going to give us everything at one go?
No. See, currently in the quarter one, quarter two, we added substantially good number, almost around 600 vehicles in the first half year. This kind of acquisition is going to continue. See, another 600 vehicles are going to be added in next half year. So by that time, around 1,200 vehicles will be added. And another 400 vehicles will remain. That will be added by September 23.
So, sir, can we expect these very highest charges to go down substantially in next 6 to 8 months once we really receive the delivery of all the trucks?
Since we are going on a volume side also, the substantial reduction will not be there. But at least there will be a reduction of around 2 to 3% on our overall kilometers.
Okay. And sir, if I heard you correctly, textile contributes the largest percentage share in volume till today, right?
Yeah. It's around 18 to 90% of volumes are coming from textile.
So how is this slowdown in textile affecting us? Because we are seeing a very bad results in global demand from many companies. So how is it affecting us?
No, earlier, if you see, the textile contributed around 14 to 15% to the volume. Now that the contribution is increased to around 18 to 19%. The reason is, earlier, as we mentioned, we were not having a proper infrastructure facility at Surat, and we were not having proper branch and network in the untapped market. Now what is happening from the last 2 years, except this COVID impact, we are having a proper infrastructure at Surat so that we can book the cloth material from Surat to across India. Earlier, we used to do only from Surat to South predominantly. Now that has been expanded from Surat to South, Surat to East, even Surat to North. That's how the contribution from the overall textile is increasing. So we are not depending on a few customers over there which is going to impact on our total volumes. We are depending on the total market. And a lot of new customers have been added in this segment.
And sir, have you put any number, like an upper cap, like let's say 25% of our volumes, let's say textile hits 25% of our volumes, we will stop taking any more volumes from textile, because then our dependence on the one sector will increase. So have you put any cap on any particular sector?
No, we do not have any cap or any minimum requirement of each segment. See, when it goes to our branches, we handle all kind of commodities. Except some hazardous and liquid product, we are handling all commodities. That's why we are not depending on any sector. And if you see the next sector-wise contribution, the maximum it is in the range of around 6 to 8%. That's how it is widely spread. We are not depending on any customers. We are not depending on any particular product. So our volumes are spread across the industry and spread across the customers. Even in slowdown on some of the products are not going to impact on our overall volumes.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Krupa Shankar NJ from Spark Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
So good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. I have a question relating to a branch addition. If I'm not mistaken, you said you were 30 to 50 branches added per quarter. So are you seeing that these branches will get added more in geographies where your vehicle, because typically, like for example, last year you added around 45% of your new branches came in the northern and the eastern region. So is there a is there focus on expanding more branch network there, or is it going to be again focused on south and west where we are relatively stronger?
No, more focus is on eastern and northeast market and even the northeast market. So most of our new branches will be added in those areas. See, south and the western market, wherever requirement is there, only in those locations we are going to add a branch. But the expansion model, what we are talking, that is only in the eastern, north and northeastern geography.
So the point you were stating earlier that around 100 tons per month is required for break-even is achieved even in these geographies of north and east. Is my understanding correct?
Yes. This 100 tons per month requirement is for each and every new branch, irrespective of the geography.
But what I meant was, if it's taking around 2 to 3 months to break-even, is that the case with new branches opened in north and east as well, right now?
Yes, the new branches where we are opening, these branches are taking around 2 to 3 months to reach 100 tons. And by that time, it will reach break even. Whatever expenditure incurred over 1 or 2 months, definitely it is well done on the P&L.
Okay.
And growth-wise, profitability contribution and growth in the turnover will be more visualized after one and a half year. That time, actually, the real contribution from these branches, the profitability contribution will be emerged.
Correct. And the related question is this, so what I can see in the balance sheet is that the lease liability proportion has gone up quite substantially. That's primarily only because of branch addition, or is there any hubs also which we have renewed lease at a relatively higher cost, which is translating to this higher lease liability?
No, along with the branch expansion, we said that even space expansion is required in some of the key transshipment hubs. So that's how actually we carried out in the last 6 months. And for all these, actually, we have entered into new lease agreements. So because of that, the lease liability is increased.
How many hubs have you changed this year?
Yeah, in around 10 to 12 locations in a major area we have changed. But even at a small scale, if you see, almost around, it is a continuous process. And the major changes happened in around 50 to 60 locations in the first half year.
Understood. Thank you.
To name some of the places like Pune, Ahmedabad, Raipur, Salem, Chennai, Kanpur, Delhi, Kolkata, Pune, Patna, Guwahati, Siliguri, Katak. In all these actually places we have enhanced our space and a lot of volumes are coming in those areas. And one more thing that I want to mention about space expansion, always we will have a vision that even after 3-4 years, there should not be change in the space. If there is a requirement of 50,000 square feet, we initially go for a 1 lakh square feet. If requirement is 1 lakh square feet, then we go for around 1,50,000 square feet. We always keep a vision that in next 4-5 years also the space should not be changed. Because of that reason, initially the utilization rate will be around 50-60%. Gradually the utilization will increase around 70-80%. So because of this reason also, there will be some burden of expenses in the P&L.
Understood. Now all this benefit of operating leverage will be reflected after a year or two.
Year and a half, then definitely the clear visibility come and definitely the margin expansion is possible.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for your explanation. And best of luck.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Alok Deshpande from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Sunil sir. Alok here at this side. You mentioned about the timeline of this new fleet addition that is going to come. You added about 500 so far in H1, another 500-600 in the next this second half of this year. So as this addition happens, do you see a possibility till you sort of settle down with all these new additions that there can be some case of underutilization of capacity until probably the second half of next year? Or do you think that utilizations are up and running even for some of these new additions?
See, the vehicle addition is always based on our requirement. From the date of registration itself, these vehicles are going to be utilized. So to that extent, the depending on the outside vehicle will come down, and there will be utilization of the own vehicles. If always the utilization will be maintained even for the new vehicles.
So second question on the sale of the bus operation business. Now, given or assuming this will be completed this quarter, so should one assume that starting Q4 of this year, that segment will not reflect in your in your book of accounts, or will that be next year?
Yeah, once this transaction is consummated in this quarter, and from Q4 onwards, those numbers will not be there. It will be a discontinued business.
Understood. Thanks, Anil sir, and all the best.
And similarly, if you see the wind power project now, so this project has been, the effective date was around 1st August. The August and September revenue and profitability have not been accounted in the current quarter. The same similar numbers will appear in the next quarter now, the Q4.
Sure, sir. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a next follow-up question from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sunil sir. Now, given we are expanding so aggressively, will there be higher increase in the employee cost? In terms of more incentives, you need more manpower. We are also expanding the might be recruiting more senior people because the expansion is happening at the rate which we have not seen in the past. So will there be a substantial change in the employee count, the kind of employees we have, the employee mix?
Yeah, see, as and when we increase the number of branches, definitely the number of employees are going to be increased. And we do, lot of this we are doing internal promotion to the people, giving promotion to the people who are going to handle these new geographies. See, we are sending some of the expert people who are already in the company, who are very loyal to the company, to these new geographies with all these promotions. To that extent, definitely the absolute amount of the salary is going to increase. But since the volume growth are, better than growing at around 14, 15, even 20%, the percentage of salary or employee cost percentage to the revenue will come down. But in absolute terms, yes, definitely there is some incremental cost will be there.
Yeah. So employee cost has been around if you just this run rate of the current quarter will be 430-440 crores, 430 around. Now this absolute number will grow at what rate over the next 3 year period?
Now if you see the first quarter
we were 106 crore in first quarter, second quarter 111.
Yeah. So it was around 106 crore. Now in second quarter it is similar, some around 4-5 crores incremental cost will be there every quarter.
Every quarter 4-5 crores. So, okay. So for the next 2 years, every quarter on quarter you will see 4-5 crores additional employee cost is what you mean.
Yes. In the normal scenario, unless we do the incremental at a board level to all employees.
But an increment will come, right? Incremental is a part of...
See, it is not an immediate thought process because we have already did it in April 22.
Okay.
That is not the immediate thought process. But till that time, definitely around 4-5 crores on every quarter, it is going to increase. Because one is the new branches will be there. We are appointing the new people. And we need a lot of new supportive stock also.
Yeah.
And a lot of these internal increments to the people who are shifting to the new geographies.
Correct.
All these exercises are continuous exercises we are doing. And the more focus is only to establish these branches and stabilize these branches and increase the volume. That is what the strategy is.
And this unallocable income and expense, how will that be after the sale of the bus transaction?
There will not be any unallocable. That entire... expenses will be treated as only goods transport segment expenses, and moreover some of the expenses are going to shift to even bus operations. On a net basis, this unallocable around 4 crore-5 crore expenses are going to be treated as GT segment expenses.
Okay. So out of the expenses reported in the second quarter, 4 crore-5 crore will be, will become part of the GT segment?
Yes.
Okay. And the rest will go off?
Rest will go off.
Okay.
Even we have to adjust unallocable expenses, unallocable revenue also, right?
Yes. So revenue, how will that be?
Means after adjusting all revenue and expenses, around 4 crore-5 crore additional expenses will be there, unallocable expenses. That will be treated as the GT expenses.
Okay. Net, net figure. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how much is the gross debt right now on books and cash?
The cash is around 11 crore-12 crore.
Okay. And gross debt?
That will continue as it is.
Okay. So net is 169. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So by 31st March, given that if the transaction happens as expected, there'll be, then you'll be net cash come. There'll be, the debt will be zero.
Yeah. We are expecting that. And we have to see the CapEx also. But anyway, the internal accruals are going to support further.
Okay.
This fund is completely utilized for the repayment of debt. Again, there will be savings on the interest.
Yeah.
The balance sheet still become more stronger, and even on a leverage side, the company will become debt-free company.
Yes. So how much CapEx is due for Q3, Q4 of this year?
Yeah. Around average, around 80-85 crore CapEx will be there. That's how it is even there in the Q1 and Q2. That will continue. And substantially, it is for the vehicle addition, the goods transport vehicle addition.
Okay. And the same figure, same 160-170 crore you'll be spending next year, FY 2024?
Next half year. Yeah. Next half year.
Sorry?
Next half year because 170 crore has been already invested in first half year now.
Okay. And 80 crore?
There will be similar investment in next six months till March 2023.
Yeah.
Again, further, there will be similar investments till September 2023 on a half-yearly basis.
Mr. Shah?
Post that, again, we analyze how the requirement of the vehicles and all. Again, we will derive our CapEx plan.
Mr. Shah? As the line of current participant has been disconnected, we move on to the next participant. The question is from the line of Srinidhi from HSBC. This is a follow-up question. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for the follow-up. So just wondering, is the growth from corporate client higher than your overall growth for last two quarters? And is the profitability in corporate clients significantly lower than your overall profitability?
The proportionate growth will be there. This contribution will be there in around 20%-25% even going forward. See, wherever we are entering into new geography and all, even products what we have mentioned, I have mentioned, these are all the paid and to-pay customers.
Okay. And sir, how is profitability in corporate customer lower than your overall profitability?
It is, again, similar profitability because the corporate clients is an assured business, and we can plan it properly. And moreover, some of the diesel escalation clauses are there in the corporate client agreement. So prices are continuously revising in the corporate clients, but that is not the case in paid and to-pay customers.
Okay.
So on overall basis, even margin side, it will be similar margin in accounts customer as well as paid and to-pay.
Understood, sir. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. So most questions have been answered. Just want to understand, so as this CapEx progress, what's the how much would be the lorry hire percentage now going forward as a percentage of the total requirement? Because the CapEx we have done in one batch also, and now, you know, it's progressing at 80-85 crore per quarter. So this.
Yeah. Around 6%-7% kilometers we have to do with outside vehicle. The reason is in some of the routes there will not be return load, and some of the local from hub to spoke, actually we are engaging hired vehicles. Those scenarios will continue.
Okay.
So overall basis, it will be in the range of around 6 to 7% of the total kilometers from the outside vehicles.
Okay.
And there will be sudden demand in on account of some of the festivals and all. To meet that one-sided demand, actually we have to engage outside vehicles only.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's all from my side.
Mm. Thank you. Sir, we do not have anybody in the queue.
Yeah. Just I wish to again give a closing comment. The management is highly focusing on the goods transport segment, and there will be a lot of expansion in this segment going forward. Our focus is on more on a volume growth, and once volume growths are happening at an expected level, definitely we can maintain EBITDA margins. And currently our expected EBITDA margin is around 16% or so, and this may improve around 50 basis points or up to 100 basis points in the next quarter on account of some of the key increase in the expenses in the quarter two, especially on the lorry charges or even on the front of non-recognition of some of the revenues and incurring of expenses on unrecognized revenues. So going forward, our focus will be more on the volumes and branch expansion and only on the goods transport segment. Since we are having a proper infrastructure backup, we will not face any threat of scarcity of the vehicles or other parameters in the industry. And apart from that, since our customer base is widely spread, we are not depending on any product. Even the slowdown in the economy or recession, if we are expecting, definitely that is not going to impact directly on the company. So definitely we are more focusing on the healthy growth, not this incur the losses and grow the business. We are growing healthy. That's what actually I want to give the closing remarks.
Thank you. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.